Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, a few weeks ago, there was this huge brouhaha in the media over the couple who managed to worm their way into a big state dinner at the White House, allegedly, apparently, without invitation or ticket or official clearance, but there they were with pictures taken in the midst of this group of celebrities, and it caused a big stir. Well, it comes to mind, curiously enough, because of today's gospel. Namely, because of the Beatitudes, who are a blessing for the poor, we just heard it a moment ago, and the weeping, and the hungry, and the persecuted. But these are folks who are blessed, or to say it differently, who have reserved places in the heavenly banquet. They've got tickets, they've got reserved places, the chairs have their name on them. And so the contrast strong comes to mind, at least my mind, immediately. This is Luke's list, the list we find in the Gospel of Luke, taken from a speech of Jesus that is located on the plain. You heard it a moment ago. Deacon Tom Hunt pointed that out for us. In contrast to what we normally think about is the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, up on a mountainside somehow. But in both cases, there is this list of Beatitudes. Luke's list is shorter. There's only four of them. And it doesn't contain the blessing for those who are meek or those who are merciful or those who are peacemakers. Luke's list is more physical. In other words, it's a blessing for those who are poor, not just those who are poor in spirit. A blessing for those who hunger, and not just those who hunger for righteousness. It's much more physical than Matthew's list. And it's more personal, whereas Matthew says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Luke says, blessed are you who are poor and who are crying and who are persecuted. So it's a very interesting contrast. It may well be that Luke's was more original, that Matthew's list somehow reflects a fleshed-out litany that was used in liturgy among the early Christians. In any case, they're powerful, both of them. And maybe this one is even more pointed and powerful. It ends up with a warning about those about whom nice things are said. I said to one of my priest friends a couple of months ago, you know, I worry about that. I worry about that final admonition against those who about whom nice things are said. My priest friend said, don't worry. Not everybody says nice things about you. Don't worry about that. I smiled and I said, well, that's what friends are for. The Beatitudes, whether in Mark, in Luke or in Matthew, are really about a great reversal, a great reversal. The rich and powerful are cast down, the poor lifted up. Sometimes religion is criticized, as I think it was Karl Marx who said, it's the opium of the people. It's just a way of keeping everybody quiet and patient and persecuted without any relief. But as a matter of fact, it is a call for patience and difficulties we can't overcome. But it's also accompanied with an invitation to each and all of us to be a partner of God in working here and now in finding a new justice, a new equity throughout the whole world, to make things better. Yes, to trust in God and to be patient, but also to be partners in making a better world. And that's, just, I think, a good introduction to this morning's tape from Archbishop Listecki inviting us to be part of the 2010 stewardship drive, to trust in God and to be partners with God. Let's listen to the Archbishop.
You know, it seems ironic that we begin the Sunday of our Archdiocesan Catholic Stewardship Appeal by saying, blessed are the poor. Yet it is in identifying our own poverty of spirit that allows us to understand our ultimate reliance on God. We need God. Hello, I'm Archbishop Jerome Listecki. Jeremiah the prophet declares, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord." I have had the privilege of walking the final months of life with a number of individuals. As more and more material things were taken away, the focus of what really is important starts to become so very clear. One gentleman who I walked with in his final months had been away from the church for a number of years. He had become financially successful. He had a good marriage and had been blessed with children. However, he was what many would refer to as a self-made man. His relationship to faith was Mass at Christmas and Easter, commonly referred to as a Christer. He was generous to various charities, but did not see the connectedness of his efforts to a responsibility to brothers and sisters in and through Christ. His achievement was of his own making. Then a diagnosis was given to him, a severe stage of bone cancer. Perhaps he had a year and a half to live. He immediately started to get his life in order, making sure his family was financially secure, his business affairs addressed. However, what was missing was his relationship to God. In one manner, he confessed to me, seeking to make right his relationship to God seemed hypocritical. He said that he had abandoned God years ago and now he needed God. Wouldn't God laugh at his pathetic plea? I told him immediately that although he might have abandoned God, God has never abandoned him. He had experienced a poverty of spirit, recognizing that he needed God, who was the source and strength of all his relationships and accomplishments. All he needed to do was open his heart to reconciliation, receive the Spirit, participate at Sunday Mass, and pray. He reconciled his life through the confession of his sins. This person who had not attended Sunday Mass now attended not only Sunday Mass, but daily Mass despite the pain he had to endure from the cancer. He prayed daily, and he was so convinced of the importance of introducing the young to their faith that his prayer led him to share his wealth with the Catholic parish school so that young students may come to know and celebrate Jesus Christ. The principal stated that he was an answer to prayer. He, on the other hand, felt that God was answering his prayer. He saw God in everything that surrounded him. I had a saying which I shared with him: listen to God's whispers. Now, with his new vision of God's presence, he realized God was not only whispering, but he heard God shouting at him, recognizing God's presence in everyone and everything that surrounded him. He did have one regret, and it was that it took him so long to open himself to God's presence in his life. He sounded much like the great Saint Augustine, who after his conversion echoed the same sentiment when he lamented, "Late have I come to know you." He made me promise that I would do everything I could as a priest to challenge people to know God, because that is everything. When he surrendered his spirit to God, he was turning over the last material possession to the Lord that he knew loved him beyond his wildest imaginings. He emptied his life for the love of Christ. He was truly rich. Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. In the Catholic Stewardship Appeal, we have an opportunity to demonstrate our trust in God. There is no doubt these are difficult economic times, but it is at these moments that we declare our relationship to Christ and his church through our gift to the Catholic Stewardship Appeal. Through the appeal, the future priests and deacons are educated and formed to serve the sacramental life of our community. Lay ministers are prepared to serve our parishes in various defined pastoral roles. Catholic Charities reaches out to the poor and neglected, mindful of Catholic social principles. Our young are formed and educated through our Catholic schools and religious education, and all of our parishes are assisted through various archdiocesan offices. It is our dependency upon God that motivates us to dig deep into our resources so that we represent the blessings we have received from God as a means to declare the importance of God's relationship to our life and the lives of our brothers and sisters. Through your gift, you will be introducing brothers and sisters to the Lord in the ministries and services offered by those you support. You will be answers to God's prayers. Those gifts will build his church. For like St. Paul, we preach a risen Christ whose life was ransomed for our sins and whose resurrection offers us a life in his love forever. You have my pledge as Archbishop to hear those prayers and together use your support to answer those prayers and build the body of Christ, his church. See you at Mass. Oops, you are probably listening to this at Mass right now. I'm so happy that you are there. Blessed are you poor.